Welcome to Marketing Unboxed. I'm your host, Travis Scott, and today I have Jamie Moran, who is the head of marketing at NeuroTrainer. Welcome, Jamie, and glad you could join me today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So NeuroTrainer, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, yeah. Who you're for, and what's it for.
Sure, absolutely. So NeuroTrainer is a cognitive training system that improves athletic abilities by training the brain. And we work primarily with a variety of different athletes at different levels, but our bread and butter is high school and college athletes right now. We come from working with, you know, more of the pro athletes. We worked a lot with basketball, baseball teams at the NBA and MLB levels, a few hockey teams, and a few football teams as well, all at the pro level. However, what we found was the market for that particular demographic was very small. And, you know, while we could get some fairly nice contract sizes, we decided to expand out our TAM a little bit and started focusing back on a larger market being high school students. And so ever since the pandemic hit, which, you know, incidentally really influenced professional athlete sales as well. Once we started to take a look at the larger market, it was just, you know, precipitating something that we were already doing, and helping athletes focus is what we do now. And what we found was, over the course of training for about, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, we were able to start to see improvements, not only in athletic performance, you know, things like decision making, reaction time, but also really helping athletes focus, which was helping them at school as well. And so now we're starting to explore not only helping school systems with their athletic departments, but we're beginning to roll out to entire school districts to help with the overall cognitive abilities for students. And so this is starting to open up a new market for us, looking at, you know, just general focus issues. We're really seeing right now, especially, you know, there was a Surgeon General's report that came out several months ago that was indicating, you know, we're in a very troubling time when it comes down to focus. People who used to be able to, you know, hold an attention span for 30, 40 seconds are now, you know, down below 12. And it's really remarkable how much these algorithms in social media applications and a variety of other technological instances throughout our daily lives have really reduced and eroded our ability to maintain focus and eliminate distractions. So that's kind of our why right now. And we're really having fun figuring out new ways to do it. And the way that we've chosen as our primary delivery method for the cognitive training is using virtual reality. And so right now we use VR using the Oculus Quest system, and we're selling to high school athletic departments, primarily targeting coaches and really helping get those athletes into a cognitive state where they're able to perform better.
Interesting. Yeah, that's fascinating stuff, man. I think we could do an entire episode just on that. Right. And attention spans and focus.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. A
challenge. Right. And I mean,
I need it
all day long. Yeah. I need it too. Like,
yeah. I mean, I just have to turn off all my notifications here for this call because, yeah, it's just like bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. 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 I think I noticed that I'm not used to tracking my time. Right. But I've got some projects now that are hourly, and I don't have too many of those. So it's a challenge because using Harvest to track my time is not a habit I'm into anyway. Right.
Well, what we're trying to do is figure out how to make the most of that time that people do have. One of the things that we've found to be super beneficial is we call it priming or mental activation. And so using this VR system for about 8 minutes right before either going into a practice, if you're an athlete, or right before a game, it just really dials in your cognitive attention so that, you know, coaches typically spend, if they have a 2-hour practice, they typically spend anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes just trying to wrangle the kids, right? Wow. You know, and, you know, they're on their phones or they're just not cognitively centered yet. So during a practice, if you have a 2-hour practice, that's like a huge chunk of it that's been essentially taken away. And so training for that 8 minutes prior to these practices, suddenly these coaches have extended the amount of attention that they have access to in that time. And, you know, we're seeing some good results there. But, you know, speaking to what we're talking about, I mean, if any of us working could you know, just train for 8 minutes and suddenly extend our focus throughout the day to literally, you know, 90 extra minutes per day. Yeah, you can get a lot more done.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, what I found with Harvest is really just how fractured my level of attention is, because I'll set a timer, start working on something, and then some shiny object flashes and I'm like, oh, I need to check that. Oh, what about this? And it's just the stuff that's always in your head that you just can't let go of.
Yeah.
And focus. Right. And then I realized, oh shit, my timer was running. I need to go back and figure out, okay, how much time did I just kill on this other thing and forgot to stop my timer. And
yeah, no, it's a real thing. And I mean, and my CEO actually does a really good job of speaking to this. He was recently on another podcast talking about, you know, the different effects of, you know, these impacts on the cognitive abilities of anyone. And it was called the Hey Coach podcast, really good podcast. But he was talking about, you know, these algorithms they're designed to keep us in a shallow state of focus. Because if you're in a shallow state of focus, then you're going to look at whatever ding comes in next, and you're going to provide it with that attention that is being monetized, right? And so they thrive off of you not having deep focus. And so, you know, having that very rapid task switching, bouncing back and forth, there's a mental cost to that. And that cost is, you know, it's deducted throughout the day. Every time you get a new ding, you actually have to exercise that muscle. And the more you have to exercise it, it's actually weakening it, ironically. And you only have so much ability throughout the day to withstand that sort of that assault. And so if you can find ways to optimize your ability to focus earlier on, and then it allows you to endure throughout the day, you know, the ability to withstand those different distractions and actually focus on what matters.
So yeah, no, that's fascinating. You and I had a conversation a month or two ago. You mentioned something during that conversation that really piqued my interest. And for someone who is a HubSpot solutions partner, you know, my ears perked up a little bit when you mentioned that you use HubSpot in your current role and have been developing some sales sequences. And you had mentioned that you finally found the formula or found what works. And so yeah, I thought, hey, let's talk about that. And I think that could be beneficial to me and some of my Absolutely. Listeners. So I guess for some context, how long have you been using HubSpot?
Yeah. So HubSpot has been on my radar since probably 2013. They really championed the concept of inbound marketing. And I was working in a small boutique branding studio. And it wasn't just branding. We did full business models, but primarily for solopreneurs. And so HubSpot had a very interesting approach to thought leadership and identifying new ways to leverage content marketing and optimize it so that, you know, so that you would be able to create that inbound funnel, but think of it more like a flywheel. And I remember reading that, you know, almost 10 years ago and thinking that just blew my mind. I had only thought of things in terms of a very linear sequence of events. And suddenly the ability to, you know, the sort of the early days of demand generation, that was really appealing to me. And so flash forward, I started working with NeuroTrainer very early on. I mean, we're still a very young company. There's only about 12 of us in the company right now. We're about to go into a fundraising round. Hopefully we're going to expand the team. But, you know, I was one of the very first. I put together the entire marketing plan. The whole department really was a result of me working with the founder to develop that out. And early on, I made a point of addressing that HubSpot would absolutely be part of the stack. Because I do see that it's one of the more powerful ways of creating this authentic, organic connection with your customers. We work with HubSpot right now on all three sides, the sales, the marketing, and the customer success. I think as we grow, we'll likely be looking into some different outbound sales products, maybe Salesforce. But for right now, we're doing everything through HubSpot. And so the way that we're leveraging sequences is by being a supplement to a few of the different channels that we're marketing through. So two of the primary ones that we're using are an outbound salesperson, so just an SDR, who's following up on lists and putting them into a sequence and doing just cold calling, essentially. And then the other is event-based. And so before the pandemic, events were, I mean, that was our primary thing. We were flying all over the United States to sports convention, coach conventions. I think I was on the plane, something like, I went to 30 different cities in 2019 type thing. Wow. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. But I mean, when you're traveling that much, you need something to be able to follow up with people, because the follow-up that you have to do is just immense. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't cracked these sequences at that point. So a lot of those opportunities, I think, kind of went wasted. And it made it a little bit harder for us in the pandemic to really activate new customers, because we hadn't done a very good job of nurturing. And so flash forward, you know, we had to rethink our entire sales model, and really forced us to pivot. And so we started looking at our stack again and realized that HubSpot actually had a ton of potential, but I just didn't know how to use it quite to its fullest extent. And so I started looking around for new ways to optimize it. And that's actually how I found Pavilion. And that's how you and I met. And so shout out to Pavilion for being just a phenomenal resource, you know, not only for individuals, but also for training. I made a lot of great relationships, this one being one of them. And they also, at the time, had a link to Sales Impact Academy, which I think is UK-based, but they do a really great job of creating different types of trainings for sales and marketing leaders. But they had a few different trainings there about demand generation, go-to-market strategy, even cold emailing and cold calling. And there was one called Advancing Through the Sequences. It was put on by a guy named Sam Nelson. I think he's head of, I think, at SDR. SDR is at Outbound or Outreach. So he really championed the concept of outbound emails. And he put a sequence together that he shared in that, and he calls it the Apogee sequence. And for me, that was a really big indicator of the amount of strategy that can go into it. And I mean, feel free to look them up. But in the Apogee sequence, it's like, you know, start thinking in terms of longer touch points that are not necessarily marketing based. And I think that's the key, is that I had always looked at these long nurture follow-up sequences as being sort of these markety, you know, what's going on in the company and maybe kind of graphic, lots of links, lots of assets, and trying to think strategically about which assets to send them. This one kind of turns all of that on its head, and it, you know, less is more. And if you can create very simple human touch points and just automate the sending of them and then intersperse that with calls, that's really going to be your best friend. And so coming back to event, that being one of our primary channels, we started going to live events again in December of last year. So that's when things started to finally open up again. And we were on the ground. There was a team of three of us. And I had the opportunity to schedule an in-person, on-stage presentation. Thinking through this, it's probably worthwhile to break it into two categories. So on one hand, you've got an event, that's the channel. And then you've also got the sequences that live around that. And so you have to think, what's the outcome that you want to see with that event? What's the goal? And how are you going to go about arriving at that? And so the goal for us was not just about making sales. It was about creating a category that people could understand as being absolutely different from anything that they were seeing elsewhere at that event. So this one was a Volleyball Coaches Association convention. And so, you know, there's a lot of content being, you know, in their programming that's around how to improve your drills, how to even train your athletes on different, you know, on-court drills, for example. That was likely the most common types of trainings. But there was also things on how to run your team, how to help athletes find new opportunities in their next career move type thing. You know, if they were high school kids, how are they going to get into colleges, et cetera? What we were creating was something completely different. We were talking about neuroscience secrets to better performance. And so we found a champion coach who had been working with us for a long time and got her to jump into an ideation session with us to come up with sort of a new program on how to train these kids to improve their cognitive abilities. So we did some early mining through some websites online to find out who the top 100 volleyball programs were, and then identified the key head coaches and assistant coaches, went in mind for their email addresses online, put that all in a list, And then we constructed a, I think it was a 7-day sequence. This was a pretty short one. And that was only email. And I think we had 3 emails in that particular sequence. And maybe 6 weeks out, we pulled the trigger on that. And we weren't trying to sell. We were just trying to say, hey, there's this cool event that's coming up and, you know, come check it out. And then we included nothing in that first email. It was just literally just an outbound message. And we sent that. Open rates are great. I think we got over 55% on that first email, but there was 0 replies. And I think the next email that we had sent, this is where that Apogee sequence came in. What I found was the most effective email literally to date in terms of open rates, responses that actually move the needle forward and get us to not only book meetings, but also arrive at sales. It's a 2-word email. And we trigger it maybe 3 days after the first, and it's literally just says any thoughts, the any thoughts email. And it's so simple and silly, and it's so incredibly effective. We saw reply rates just skyrocket. I think we got 38% replies on that any thoughts email. And, you know, it's only gone up since there. And we deployed the same strategy. You know, the first email being more of a casual check-in, but touching on the individual's, you know, key value prop. And then 3 days later, any thoughts? And then 3 days after that, following up on this, any thoughts? And I mean, just those simple steps, we started to see emails 2 and 3 be the ones that started to convert. Email 1 almost never does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as we started to understand that, okay, this sequence really is about those second and third emails, we've since started to construct longer sequences. And now we're looking right now at, I think we have a 21-day sequence going for a cold outbound list. And we're starting to see, it's only 3 days in, we haven't even launched the second one yet, but I think we're at 45% opens. Oh, and wow. Our sales guy is now doing cold outreach, and he's essentially just dialing the list as these emails are getting sent out. And we've got 5 opportunities that have been created on a 400 person enrollment, and 2 meetings have been booked. So yeah, we're starting to learn a lot more about sort of the nuances to it, but I'm really looking forward to Thursday, because Thursday is when the any thoughts email goes out. So I'm pretty pumped to see what the reply rates are on that.
Nice. And so is that the first time that you're testing it with a cold list versus an event?
So the lead up to the event was cold. Mm. Yeah, that was cold. That we did the mining on that one.
That's right.
But we didn't have a sales outcome as the objective for that one. That was literally just an awareness email.
Could you tell that even if you didn't have an outcome, I guess kind of the outcome was to stop by your booth or come meet you?
Well, that's the thing, is that, you know, we couldn't really tell, because I think we emailed maybe 200 people. We didn't have a good sense of who was going to be there at that event. So we were getting some, you know, some looky-loos passing through. No major substance though. And we weren't having, you know, really in-depth conversations, but that was the day before the workshop. As soon as we went into the workshop, I mean, I was scrambling all over the place. I was trying to figure out how to film it and making sure that the audio was good and having multiple angles, because I was convinced nobody was going to show up to this workshop. And we had this huge room, and I was like, oh God, there's going to be like 3 people, and it's going to look so empty in here. I need to at least leverage the content. And also, there was like 3 other workshops that were happening at the exact same time. And we were way off in, you know, some weird corner of the event that nobody would have known to come to unless they were aware of this event. And so, you know, 3 minutes before we were supposed to start, I looked at the crowd, and I think there was over 90 people in there.
Oh, wow.
We got a really good turnout and a lot of it, very engaged people. And when I talked to people outside, a lot of them had said that they had, you know, received an email that this event was going to be happening, or they were forwarded that same email from one of their colleagues who said, hey, you got to go check this out.
Interesting.
And so suddenly from that moment on, for the rest of the show, back at the trade show booth, suddenly there was just this constant stream of people who were referencing, oh, I heard you that you guys had a great workshop, or I saw you on stage. And suddenly we were able to really have a lot deeper conversations. And that's since turned into just a steady stream of sales that have come in since that event. I think we closed our last deal, I mean, last week. So I think it was a 67 days to close after that event.
Yeah, that's a great success story. Yeah. Right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
It's always interesting, you know, I think to ask people that question, how did you hear about us or how did you know about the event and see what they say.
It's a big deal right now and we're still very small. So, you know, digital attribution for us isn't something that I'm putting a lot of time into yet. I think that we're still figuring out sort of our overall sales strategy and how sales and marketing interact with one another. Right now, we're definitely more sales led as an organization. And so a lot of my time is honestly, you know, as head of marketing, I'm honestly spending more time in revenue and working with the head of sales to map that out more broadly and how that is influenced by marketing and how customer success is put into that and just really beginning to think of that entire customer journey. But, you know, coming back to that attribution, learning from customers is, I think, the most important thing that is often overlooked. Let your customers teach you what it is that they're looking for and how they find it.
Exactly. The how they find it's very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Chris Walker and Refine Labs and his podcast? No. So he's more on the marketing side of things. Mm-hmm. And demand gen is really his thing. He's in Pavilion and his company Refine Labs is just killing it right now. And he talks a lot about the dark social of people having conversations about your brand. And so your actual direct marketing isn't really influencing the website visits and the things that you think, you know, so attribute, he talks a lot about attribution and last click attribution might not be telling the whole story. They might go to Google and in Google Analytics, when you're looking at it, you might see the attribution as being Google organic, but they might've just gone there to type your name because they heard about you in a community on social and they went to Google or you see a lot of direct traffic. It's because they're going straight to your website.
Yeah. So, branded search. I mean, I think branded search is by definition, last click. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that first click, where do they actually come from is the key missing piece. Yeah, absolutely.
And what he's been doing, and he talks about like how important it's been once he started doing it is on your forms, just have a box question.
How'd you hear about us?
Yeah. And see what they say. And chances are it won't be Google search, right? Even though that's what your Google Analytics is showing, it'll be something like saw you on TikTok or saw, you know, someone mentioned you in Pavilion. And things like that, right? So then as a marketing leader, you know, okay, well, you thought it was organic search, so you're putting all this time and effort into SEO. Right. Really, it's, hey, how do we generate more demand in dark social and get people talking about us?
Absolutely.
Leverage those channels, right? So yeah, it's kind of interesting.
It's a game of cat and mouse. What are your customers dealing with? You know, what's their biggest challenge? Just ask them and they'll tell you. And then now you can build a product to solve that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, find the pain and build the product versus build the product and find the pain, right?
Different. There's definitely a difference.
Big difference.
I can speak to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. What's your next, do you have any other upcoming sequence experiments in the works or things you're going to test?
Yeah. Yeah. So right now we're waiting for this sequence to roll out. I think it's going to influence how we plan our fall launch. So yeah, we've loaded up 6 phone call sequence into HubSpot. We have our new SDR that's making the outbound calls. And right now, I've actually got him running the calls just out of a spreadsheet. So we've got all the calls automated through HubSpot. So I just created, you know, simple drop downs to identify what the call outcomes were. And then correlating that back to the sequences, if he makes headway and actually makes a connection, then I'll just unenroll them from the sequence. But the plan is after maybe 2 weeks to get him into HubSpot doing that once he gets more familiar with the platform. So yeah, we're seeing, I think, a 4% reply rate right now, not including all of the phone calls. And yeah, so I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to come out with 12-ish percent meetings booked. So that might be a very high benchmark, but that's the goal. And we'll see if we can turn that into some reality. So We've got 21 days on this sequence, so I'll know better in 21 days.
Nice. That's awesome. And you said six emails, six calls?
Yep. So six emails, six calls. So the first email is very short. I kept everything to about 150 words. Email one is, you know, hitting on key problem and asking if this is something that they're familiar with. Email two is any thoughts. Email three is social proof while still hitting on, you know, on that sort of assumptive problem. And then email four is any thoughts. Email five was sort of a little bit of a Hail Mary where we basically just listed a whole bunch of social proof and value props. That's where I broke the 150 word rule. I think it went with, I think it was like 450 words.
Oh, wow.
Just an enormous email. And like I said, it's just a Hail Mary because we knew that we were going to be making the calls around it. Yeah, there was a LinkedIn connection request and, you know, a few other components around it. And then email six is the breakup email. And so those are about 3 to 4 days apart. And then in between, we have as many calls as our sales guy is able to get in that time.
And with the social proof, what are you using there? Testimonials or case studies or a little bit of both?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I've learned about these sequences in terms of best practices some of my contacts here in Pavilion or through some of the courses I've been taking. I've been taking that CMO course through Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
It's been phenomenal.
Really? Nice.
So we don't send any case studies. We're not sending any materials at all. And we're not even asking them for a firm commitment to book something like a meeting. So all of those cool bells and whistles that HubSpot comes with, I'm basically ignoring. it's too bad because they've got like, you know, cool automations to book meetings and attach a document. And you can actually see if they go to page two, we're not using any of it. And so when it comes to social proof, we're just name dropping two or three customers that are relevant to them. I think this was a soccer list. So, you know, we've worked with Trent Alexander-Arnold and we're the official cognitive training system of the LA Galaxy. And so we just dropped a few of those names and that's it for the social proof piece.
Nice. So yeah, I'll be curious to find out how that works, right?
So will I. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. And I think that's kind of what marketers do though, right? We test. Right. And so you're testing length, you're testing number of sequences, 400 word versus two word, like a little bit of everything in there, right? And then there are all the bells and whistles that you can use. And eventually you just kind of layer on one, test it. Did it work? And I mean, I'm using some automation for this podcast. And so one of the things that I kept forgetting to get was a headshot from people. And so I'd set everything up, do the podcast, get it edited, ready to go. And I'm like, oh shit, I need a headshot. So then I'd email, wait, maybe have to chase it a little bit. So now the whole publishing is delayed. So I thought, hey, I've got HubSpot. I'm going to use it. And I created an automation based on the booking calendar functionality. And so it's tied to that. That calendar is only for these Marketing Unboxed interviews. And so I send an email and as soon as someone clicks that link and books a time, that triggers that next email to come out and say, hey, here's what we're kind of going to go over. Here's what to expect. Oh, by the way, can you send me a headshot? And so I automated that so I wouldn't forget it ever again. So that was one of those bells and whistles.
I look forward to seeing that automation show up in my email because I for sure haven't sent you a headshot yet.
Yeah. I'll have to check that. You say that it might be broken.
Yeah, right.
Good stuff, man. I really appreciate you coming on to chat about this.
My pleasure.
And I think a lot of people struggle with sequences and what to say and how to say it and the personalization piece. So yeah, I think this will be very helpful.
One thing that I would say that what really helped me build the sequences, so using that overall model for the sequence was great. But in terms of the emails, get Lavender. Lavender is a phenomenal tool.
Really?
And yeah, Will Allred, I think is his name. He developed this tool. I think it's free for one user. If there's a cost to it, it's very low. But it's just a Gmail plugin. And it's you write your email in Gmail and it scans it. And it has basically the latest sales methodologies programmed into it and it grades it. And so you get, you know, oh, this email is 89%, you know, you get an A or an A minus, whatever it is. And if it doesn't meet certain criteria, it tells you why it's not meeting those criteria. And then it gives you suggestions on how to fix it. So it analyzes the tone, it analyzes the length, the subject, whether or not it's interesting, and it recommends to keep subject length down to 2 or 3 words, which I think is absolutely valid. And yeah, phenomenal. And that's literally what I used to basically edit and check my emails. I just dumped them into Gmail, ran the Lavender script, and made sure that it was optimized. And as soon as I got over 90%, I said, that's good enough. And then I pulled that over to HubSpot and then personalized it.
That's awesome. I'll be checking that out. Well, yeah, thanks again. Really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to getting this out to people.
Sounds good. All right.
And that wraps up this edition of Marketing Unboxed. Just want to thank you for listening, and thank you for continuing to tune in. If you enjoyed the show, if you enjoy the podcast, please give it a rating, give it a review on Apple. I think you could do the same thing on Spotify. And if it's something you can do on any other platform, please do it. I really appreciate it, and it just helps and get the word out. And until next time, I'm out.